Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Wednesday, October 7th, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hey, happy hump day, Melody.
Absolutely, and being hump day, we have Wendy Wilson. She'll be joining us from Apothecary Herbs here in just a few short minutes. First, we're going to do the market report. And let's go ahead and see gold today. Gold had another nice, had a decent day today, $1,887, up $10.30. $1,887, up $10.30. Silver was up a little over 3%, up 71 cents, at 23.84. Platinum was up $14, 869. Palladium was up 11, 2,419. The USDX today was down 0.18 at 93.65. Crude oil was down 68 cents at 39.99. Sounds like some sort of a special going on there. 39.99. And the paper markets today, you have the Dow up 530 points at 28,303. The NASDAQ was up 210 at 11,364. The S&P was up 58 points at 3,419. 10-year yield continues to climb 0.78%, up 0.04. Euro was stronger by 0.22. Mixed bag of markets in the European and Asian markets. The winner, from what little I'm looking at, is Hong Kong, was up a little over 1%. And, you know, it's headlines. We need a break. But I think we have Wendy Wilson. She's going to give us that break because she's going to help you with your health. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. And hello, Dave.
Hi there.
Hey, I thought we'd talk about, you know, recovering from a virus in 3 days because, hey, you know, the media was kind of speculating on how short President Trump's stay at Walter Reed was. You know, he was there 3 days for his COVID treatment, especially when, you know, the CDC's recommended a 10-day monitoring after you develop symptoms. So the president was admitted Friday evening, September 2nd, but he was discharged Monday, September the 5th. That's just 3 nights at the hospital for care. So the reports that the public are getting from the media on the hospital COVID 19 patients is they're there probably 3 weeks when they have symptoms. Some may even include a stay in intensive care. So much to the surprise of the media, President Trump walked out of the hospital unassisted, got into his black SUV, went back to work at the White House. So do you want to check out why that happened?
Sure.
Okay.
Why don't you tell us?
Let's find out. Well, first of all, let's look at what Dr. Daniel McQuillan, Dr. Daniel McQuillan Lehay, he's a president of infectious disease at the Society of America at the Hospital Medical Center in Burlington, Mass. And he says, many of my own COVID-19 patients were hospitalized 6 to 8 days with the median being about 8 days if you were older and overweight. So, and then, of course, Biomed Central Health Service says, hey, the median length stay they found was 5 days at least at the hospital if you had COVID symptoms. So I guess what the medical literature is saying is it tends to be the type of COVID case you have, whether you have mild to moderate or severe symptoms. So what the medical journals are reporting on is that people that can manifest really no symptoms, mild symptoms, or acute symptoms of the COVID virus, they say the degree of severity seems to depend on several criteria. The individual's health of their immune system, is it strong? Is it robust? Also, if the individual had any previous exposure to a virus or a similar virus, because medicine knows your immune system has adaptogen cells that can take an antibody and adapt it for that particular strain. Also, they say the individual's health overall has something to do with it. Do they have any internal medicine diseases, which can often include a lot of inflammation, and that can hinder their recovery? And also, if they're taking prescription meds, because As we reported, a lot of prescription meds will flush minerals that the immune system has to have to operate. So if you're low in minerals, you're going to struggle a bit with COVID. So due to the HIPAA now laws on healthcare compliance, the public may never really know specifically what treatments the president received. I know that they did release he got a steroid drug called dexamethasone, usually for inflammation, but it's unknown what other possible experimental type therapeutics he did take. Okay, of course, the vaccine's not ready because it's still in clinical human trials, so that wasn't used. So this begs the question, how did the president recover so quickly? Well, let's look at this new study. This has a ton of answers for us. This is March 2020 when COVID was just getting started. The University of Melbourne in Australia, along with joint research with Peter Daughtry Institute of Infectious and Immunity Diseases, they published this report. They suggested that the average healthy adult who encounters COVID-19 virus and develops symptoms can recover from the virus, get this, in just 3 days. Just like President Trump. Yep. So the researchers observed that people of average health, around 40 years of age, they exhibited maybe mild to moderate virus symptoms, and they tested positive, obviously, for the COVID-19. They tend to have immune systems that are able to overcome this infection in 3 days. And the research did get published March 17, 2020 in the Journal of Nature Medicine. Here's what Dr. Ohan Nugent, he's with the research there at Peter Daughtry Institute of Infectious Disease and Immunity. They say 3 days after the patients were admitted, we saw large populations of several immune cells, which are often a telltale sign of recovery during influenza infections. So we all predicted our patients would recover in 3 days, which is what happened. So they're saying this is a flu bug. We shut down the country over a flu bug, guys.
They shut the world down.
I know. So since the beginning of this pandemic, you know, the medical science has known, but until recently, reluctant to really say that the human immune system is healthy and healthy people can overcome COVID-19 in much the same way you overcome an influenza infection. So nations don't shut down over seasonal influenza. But so what we're realizing is the media was instructed to hyperinflate the seriousness of the COVID-19 along with assistance from the WHO and the CDC. So the average physician was told how to treat and hospitalize patients with COVID, and it turned out it was the wrong treatment protocol, and it improved the likelihood of non-survival. So the respirators were the wrong thing to use. They know that now. Now, some brave physicians, as you may have known, have spoke out about and even criticized this treatment plan, and that it's just a flu. So these doctors are criticized by the media. They're banned from the social media. They're even expelled off a YouTube platform, and some even got fired. So early on, world governments sought out the expert opinion of retired Swedish physician virologist Johan Gazik. They wanted to know about the COVID-19. The governments wanted to know. After he evaluated the global evidence, he reported COVID-19 is a slightly more virulent influenza virus that negatively may affect a minority of people. He said the COVID-19 was a very common viral strain. He said a majority of the world population had already been exposed to it, and they didn't fall ill. He felt that the countries that were shutting down, social distancing, wearing masks, he said that was quite draconian. He said, in his opinion, hand washing would be more effective. So the population of the world has kind of been played by this, the media was in on it. Some health organizations were in on it. So the virus is real, but the deadly force has been over-exaggerated and manipulated, and it really did produce fear, and it was there for a control purpose. So they used a novel virus people didn't know anything about, and that made people fearful. So the key was a new virus. They leveraged it with fear of the unknown while they silenced those who knew how to successfully treat patients without risk of death. So to put it into perspective, measles is a more infectious and deadly of strain of infection than COVID is, but we don't shut down the country when we have outbreaks of measles.
Oh, no, they shut down a town not too long ago for measles.
The reason is people are not fearful of measles, and the reason is because there's a vaccine, and people perceive that to be a cure, see? So what they did with the Melbourne test is they actually analyzed a lot of COVID patients that came in there. They analyzed their blood samples, and they actually developed a system of looking at the immune system response. Here's what Dr. Nugent says. He says, we looked at the whole breadth of the immune response in the patients regarding COVID-19 using the knowledge that we have built over years of looking at immune responses in patients that are hospitalized with influenzas. So he says the average patient recovers in 3 days. He goes on to say, our research has proved that even though COVID-19 is caused by a new virus, in an otherwise healthy person, a robust immune system across all different cell types was associated with full clinical recovery, similar to what we see in regular flu infection. And then this is Dr. Catherine Kazaka. She's a professor and a laboratory head at influenza immunology at Peter Daughtry Institute. She says, our research pointed out some incredible steps in understanding what drives recovery from the COVID infections. It showed the method in which the immune system responds helps us to see what is lacking in those who had difficulty and maybe fatal outcomes. So what they discovered was your immune system has to have specific minerals to function properly. The keys to COVID was people that had problems and fell off the cliff with this infection is they had a lack of immune support minerals, and that was calcium and zinc. They had immune suppression or weakness that was possibly produced by antibiotics they had been taking. And they also were on some prescription meds that were known to flush minerals out of your system, like cardio medicine, like blood pressure meds. And this was even the fact on younger folks in their upper 30s that may have been on blood pressure pills. They were chronically low in zinc. And zinc, according to the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health, their research that got published in 2019 said your zinc helps your immune system produce a protein coating on your cells that inhibits the COVID virus from penetrating your cell and making you sick. And the reason the calcium is important is your immune system uses calcium as pretty much a flow switch. And this is in the 2016 Journal of Immunology. They said that if you have adequate calcium, the calcium will activate the immune system to kick on and to produce the antibodies. And then when the disease is gone, the calcium flow switch goes the other way and it shuts off the immune response. So it makes you wonder about these autoimmune disease folks, if they have any calcium or enough of it, so their immune system doesn't stay on and attack healthy cells, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I also heard D3 was an important one, too.
Yeah. Well, and it makes sense, and this is why they added the zinc to the hydroxychloroquine therapy for those that were critically low in zinc. So remember you asking me a while back, you know, what I thought was the reason for ill health overall, and I said it was mineral depletion. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
And so I think it's responsible for a lot of internal medicine disorders when we don't have minerals, because we're just a pile of minerals if you take all the fluids away, and we're just not getting the minerals in our foods anymore. So 50% less minerals in our produce, for example, since modern agriculture took over with the massive farms. They're using too much of the the insecticides and the herbicides, and it blocks the plant's ability to absorb those minerals from the soil. And if they're not letting land rest, there's no minerals to absorb anyway. So we got problems there, obviously.
We do.
Health problems. It trickles on down. It trickles on down. So let's talk about real quick, so we got a few minutes, drugs that will deplete your zinc to look out for. Prescription diuretics, of course, and antacids. anti-inflammatory drugs, your hydrocortisones, your the prednisones, your non-steroidal anti-inflammatory meds, anticonvulsants, antiviral meds, birth control medications, cardiovascular drugs, and ulcer drugs will all remove the zinc. Okay. Now, the drugs that remove your calcium that your immune system also has to have are your bone density drugs like Fosamax, Boniva, also your osteoporosis injection meds like Prolia, and drugs for kidney disease, anti-seizure drugs, again on the list, and your chemotherapy drugs. So if you want to rebuild zinc, some of the foods and herbs that have high zinc are kelp, alfalfa, apples, beets, onions, almonds, and in the herb category, astragalus root has the highest natural zinc, and then it's followed by echinacea root. And those are both immune support herbs, by the way. Now, the foods that will give you the plant-based calcium with the proper mineral for uptake, your body likes calcium, boron, and magnesium together. Cow's milk doesn't have that. So in your plant-based calcium, sesame seeds, millet, oats, and then the herb category, horsetail herb, comfrey root, lobelia, and oat straw. So those will have the balanced chemistry of calcium so the body can actually utilize the calcium, put it where it needs to be. So we have, at Apothecary Herbs, we have the astragalus root, the echinacea, we have the calcium formula in the liquid. So we have some options for people. We have a lot of pandemic kits handy. If you want to reverse a vaccine, it's inside that. There's all kinds of neat things at Apothecary Herbs, and they're all professional strength formulas. So big section on immune support. So people this time of year, this is a good idea to start thinking about that.
You also have a food, don't you? A green food?
We do.
Would that supply a lot of...
Yes. The body
all
food
in
makes...
One.
Well, it's no, the all-in-one's a tonic. It's kind of a plague tonic, an old-fashioned plague tonic. But the one you're referring to is the body food mix. It's a powder. You throw it in your juice, make a smoothie with it. It does cover the minerals, the amino acids, the vitamins, and plant proteins, and it's all-inclusive. So, and it just really super infuses the system with energy, and it doesn't need to be digested because it's water-soluble already in your liquid form, so it works right away. It's one of our most popular items. Yep.
It's a good one. It really is. Give your phone number out, Wendy.
Okay, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com online, thepowerherbs.com, and get a free product catalog, and you'll see what we have.
Do you have any specials going on this week?
And not right away. We just finished our autumn sale, but we do have coupons up on our website, so you can use them anytime.
Yeah. Super. All right, give it out one more time. We have 1 second.
866-229-3663. See you guys later.
Thank you. Bye-bye. See you. Talk to you next week. Thank you, Wendy. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website, dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Make sure you tune into the radio station. Also, it's live at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Every day at the little bar at the top, and for the archives, you just scroll down and you'll find them, and you can sign up for the weekly newsletter. And let's see, Dave. It's the
Melody.
Same old thing again. Summary of September meeting minutes. And again, just more of the same. And the minutes show that some of the officials are a little worried that a lack of further fiscal stimulus from Congress is going to jeopardize the economic rebound. Well, you know, I kind of hate to say it really isn't the stimulus that's going to jeopardize an economic rebound. What's going to jeopardize an economic rebound is the number of businesses that can't reopen. And it's the number of businesses that have already failed. It's the number of people that are still unemployed. How is stimulus really going to turn that around? It's all psychological. It'll make you feel good, make you happy. You'll get $1,200 in the mail. So anyway, you can say that, okay, let's blame Congress then, because they're not going to do the stimulus. The meeting, which resulted in interest rates being held near zero, featured extensive discussion about the economic outlook, as members said that the economy was doing better than expected, in good part because of the fiscal help. Many participants noted that if the future fiscal support was significantly smaller or arrived significantly later than they expected, the pace of that recovery would be slower than anticipated. That's just, you know, rocket scientists there. Pelosi, on again, off again, on again, off again, on again, off again, stimulus talks. Pelosi this morning signaled an openness to a standalone airline relief bill in a conversation with Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin. And, of course, we talked about after President Trump yesterday had pulled the negotiators from the broader stimulus talks. Mnuchin's call underscores the administration's concern about the state of the airline industry, and which has been walloped. We know they're going to, you know, we've talked about numbers from 10,000 to 30,000 employees. Last Friday, House Transportation Committee Chair Peter DeFazio attempted to pass an extension of expiring aid. Didn't work out. The DeFazio legislation would provide for more than $28 billion for airlines and contractors if they held off on layoffs until March 31st, 2021, then what's going to happen on March 31st? We're down the same road again. So, you know, Dave, it's just more of the same. And it does surprise me, though, Dave, that this is all happening right before an election for either side.
That the inaction or lack of action.
Both.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there are different reasons for either side. I mean, the Republicans, apparently, more of them, particularly in the Senate, have gotten a newfound dose of deficit hawkishness. Pelosi has been saying that she doesn't want to agree to a piecemeal stimulus bill, or one that in her members' minds is not enough. With the piecemeal, I think her concern is that she loses leverages for a broader deal. So, you know, whatever you know, the real reasons are, and I suspect that it's a combination of what I just mentioned and others. You know, it's more and more becoming more and more obvious that we're not going to have any kind of broad bill by November 3rd, whether or not the pressure, enough pressure will be brought so that the airlines will be bailed out separately. I guess we will see. But now the president is clamoring for another individual stimulus checks for Americans with his signature on it. Presumably would arrive in mailboxes probably just in time for in-person voting on November 3rd. I don't believe it will happen. Certainly not like that. But again, we will see.
You know, really was, you know, we already talked about the pullout from the stimulus talks from President Trump, and he's kind of surrounded himself with economists, supply side, economic, like Fed Stephen Moore. They argue that the fiscal stimulus measures and increased benefits for unemployed Americans not only don't help, but actually hurt the economy. So is this the reason why Trump pulled out of the stimulus? I mean, because he's beginning to follow this Stephen Moore?
Oh, I don't know. I would no longer presume to try and guess the motives of our president. I just prefer not to go there. But I mean, it's not just Moore. I think even more telling than Moore. Moore's kind of like an outlier on that side. But certainly, with more credibility inside the White House, would be your BFF, Master Kudlow, who's a long time supply side economist. So. Could be that people like he are having more of an impact, but it's back and forth and back and forth. No stimulus negotiations or talks one day, and then the next day, well, let's bail out the airlines, let's send another round of stimulus checks to Americans. So. I'm almost left speechless. But I mean, what the supply side folks have been pushing all along, and it really hasn't been a serious part of the current stimulus talk since April or May is more tax cuts. And that's where the crux of supply side trickle down theory, they think, is borne out. I think there's a lot of evidence that says it just ain't so. But despite that, they seem to keep pushing it because they think it works, or good, and perhaps they think more than anything, it's good politics.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, it sounds great. Hey, we're going to cut your taxes. Beats, we're going to raise them. You know, it truly is mind-boggling anymore to... And you know, it's just amazing. The stock market doesn't pay any attention to any of this stuff that's going. They know the stimulus is coming because they know government is not going to allow the economy to fail to affect Wall Street and the banks. They know as long as they can keep, you know, creating those digits, it's going to happen no matter how you argue the point, no matter, I guess, who President Trump listens to, you know, whether it's a supply side or, you know, whether he goes with stimulus. You know, Wall Street knows, you know, at least that's what they're betting on, that that's what's going to happen. Stimulus is going to come. So
yep.
Really is amazing. You know, we kind of already talked about the consensus gaining that the lack of the stimulus will affect the economy. We get that. I don't know what the airlines are going to do, you know, lay off the people. And, you know, I don't know how that all works into things. I mean, it's, you know, just like it. You know, I guess that unemployment or the what am I thinking of? The employment number is going to keep dropping. So regardless of what happens.
Yeah, that and consumer confidence and consumer spending. And GDP. Yeah, there have already been 150,000 airline employees furloughed since this all began, another 38,000 since October 1st are now on the cutting block. And that surely will have an impact on fourth quarter numbers, all other things being equal, of course. And you know, when you talk about the coming season impact on restaurants and bars and some of the other industries, I think there's good reason to be concerned.
Well, you know, commercial bankruptcies, Golden Corral's largest franchise group, the 1069 Restaurant Group LLC, they filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. Blaming the pandemic closures. This is a Florida-based restaurant which franchises 33 units of the Raleigh, North Carolina-based buffet chain, said in its petition this week that only 6 locations are open for dine-in service among its restaurants in Florida and Georgia. Isn't the Golden Corral national?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah. So they only have 6 locations in those 2 states, Florida and Georgia. That's amazing. The filing in the U.S. Bankruptcy Court in Orlando cites liabilities of between $50 million and $100 million and assets of $10 to $50 million. The largest listed creditor is Regions Bank for $9.4 million Paycheck Protection Program loan. I thought they were grants.
Well, they're grants if they maintained their payroll over a period of time, and you know, depending on what action the franchisee took in terms of one, when they got the loan, when they filed for bankruptcy, and how they what they did with employees, I think is all relevant there. Even if it was a grant, I mean, I suspect that the intent of Congress was not to provide loans to companies that were going to fold, you know?
Someone quoted me a number today. I didn't know if it was real, but he said that there was 240,000 businesses that closed in New York.
Yeah, I've seen that number.
I think it was New York City. Where I don't know. I think it was a city, not just the state. So you've seen that same number?
I've seen over 200,000.
Wow. In the city or the state?
You know, it said New York. I assumed it was the state, but it could be the city.
City.
I mean, the vast majority of it would be the city anyway, but that's significant.
Let that sink in.
Yeah. I mean, commercial bankruptcies are up. I mean, filings are up 33% so far this year, with another quarter to go. Last month, 78% higher than a year ago.
But that just doesn't seem to filter through to anyone's conscious level.
I mean, it seems to me to be that's an important number, I think. And we'll talk later, I think, in the next segment, a little bit about a related topic that is just one more flashing sign that, whoa, you better be very cautious out there if you're an investor.
And I wonder if this is a sign of just how powerful the media is anymore.
Sure.
I mean, they ignore this because they're told to ignore this. No one pays attention to it. No one talks about it. It has no impact. People really don't have a clue. They're not protecting themselves. They're not doing what needs to be done. And you can't say they're not doing it because it would create some sort of a panic or anything like that. But if you just ignore it, it just goes to show how few people really know what's going on. And how they can sway people's opinions and this is just a simple example of that. And then we see what's really going on and how the media is reporting things today, and it's like, you know, yeah, people are real confused as to what the truth really is. You know, in the same line of that, Dave, you have the small businesses. They're worried about closing. A late September survey of over 7,700 small businesses shows that small business owners and employees are less upbeat about the economy than just 1 month ago. The survey from Alignable finds that many small businesses are growing more worried. And it's a cash crunch. 42% saying that they could collapse by the end of the year. That's another 42% on top of what we just mentioned. This projected impact was not only expressed by Main Street retail, which is at 45% overall, but also by B2B business owners, where 38% anticipated being at risk of closure. What's going to make this turn around? Obviously, if these predictions become a reality, small businesses across many different industries and regions are going to be devastated. Only 15% of businesses reported no fear about a recovery. What businesses are those, Dave? We hear the
businesses.
Music. Yeah. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. Tell me again tonight.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Dave Allen. And we ended the last segment with the small businesses are worried about closing. And, you know, it's interesting. I had asked Dave right when we ran out of time who that 15% of businesses, what type of businesses would they, you know, consider that they wouldn't have an issue. And Dave, you said?
Well, I said, well, a chunk of them is probably those who got substantial PPP loans.
Yep.
This spring.
Yep.
Now, I'm sure they're much larger companies that have been doing okay, getting by, that probably aren't as concerned. Although even a good chunk of the major multinationals, if they're not necessarily concerned about the company, but there is some sense of concern about some of the employees, particularly those who've been furloughed. So,
you know, Dave, it's time for your weekly segment, Levity is Golden. So tell us, what's today's topic?
Melody, I guess you could say it's about home cooking.
Ooh.
with a pandemic twist.
Uh-huh.
It turns out the personal chef business is booming as more consumers choose to eat at home during the pandemic than eating out at restaurants. We've talked a lot about this over the last several months. The pandemic's expected to cause the restaurant industry to lose $240 billion in sales this year. It's according to the National Restaurant Association. We know national lockdowns pushed many Americans to spend more time eating at home, whether it's restaurant food delivery, at-home cooking, or the fruit of a personal chef's labor. Now, Brian Driscoll, who co-founded the Arizona-based personal chef company Driscoll Cuisine and Cocktail Concept, says, "I'm starting to see a lot of people who are looking at the personal chef and in-home dining experience as a great alternative to dining out as of now." The U.S. Personal Chef Association, that's an association for everything, estimates that there are between 5,000 and 6,000 personal chefs now working nationwide. Personal chefs own their own businesses, unlike private chefs, who are typically employees of a particular household. The pandemic hit just as the industry was in the middle of a boom and has further accelerated the trend. When restaurants began reopening for indoor and outdoor dining across the country, many customers still felt uncomfortable partaking, particularly if they have underlying health conditions. So while diners might know and trust the members of their party, they don't know who's sitting at the table next to them. The CDC has linked dining out to a higher risk of contracting COVID-19, although the National Restaurant Association has disputed those findings. For consumers looking to celebrate anniversaries or birthdays, Melody, a meal from a personal chef can help make up for the disappointment of missing out on typical festivities. Driscoll Cuisine co-founder Monique Hayward said, "We've got a lot of pent-up demand because everyone lost Easter, Mother's Day, graduations, even weddings, all of those occasions, wedding receptions, that is." Now, not all personal chefs have been seeing a surge in sales. Personal chef Katie Simmons has owned her own Chicago-based business for 8 years and specializes in cooking for busy families or people with dietary restrictions. Maybe I should look her up. When the pandemic first hit, Simmons' business was slashed in half. But in the last 2 or 3 months, she's seen much more interest in at-home dinner parties. In fact, she's had to turn down many requests because she happens to live with someone who's at higher risk for complications from COVID. And as we know, the pandemic has triggered an economic crisis with the actual unemployment rate in September. Well, the actual, the reported, you know, around 7, the actual between 25 and 30, and the GDP plummeting over 31% in the second quarter. And for most consumers, that means a personal chef isn't in their budget. For example, a 5-course dinner with wine pairings created by one of Simmons' company chefs, listen to this, ain't cheap. $250 a person, including services and fees. Hayward,
do they do the dishes?
God can only hope so for that price. Hayward said, we're not generally seeing people in our target market and demographic who are concerned about cost per se. Yeah, $250 a pop.
Yeah, that's a little steep.
Why? Yeah. Now, the personal chefs who are enjoying a lift in sales now might soon find more competition for customers. Mounting restaurant closures means a deluge of out-of-work chefs. The Bureau of Labor Statistics estimates that there were over 128,000 chefs and head cooks working in the U.S. last year, and employment in food services and drinking places has plummeted by 2.3 million since February. Food for thought, Melody. That's this week's Levity is Golden.
You know, talking about the restaurant business, the Disney layoffs, we talked about that and how many thousands they're laying off. And
how many are they? I heard that, but I didn't see it.
It was a lot. Oh, up, but they're going to continue, and that includes 2,800 restaurant workers and food cart vendors.
Oh, wow.
And and this is just talking about the private and exclusive Club 33 in the Anaheim theme park is going to be among the hardest hit by the massive layoffs coming to the Disney park division. I think it – what was that number? I thought it was like 28,000, right up there along with the airlines. So again, another another area.
There ain't gonna be 3 shifts of Mickey and Minnie. Let me tell you that.
Now, where do they go get a job?
Oh my.
And, you know, here's something, you know, we've talked about this, you know, prior to the pandemic about student loans, the defaults. And now you have less than 11% of people with federal student loans are repaying them during the pandemic. That means about 4.6 million out of 42 million borrowers are continuing to pay down their debt. The government's forbearance on federal student loans has freed up money for basic essentials for many of those borrowers, and many of them have seen their income disappear. It's also given people a window into what life could be without education debt. Student loans have long outpaced the credit card and auto debt as a burden to Americans, and each year 70% of college grads start off their lives in the red. And it really is amazing. And, you know, we know the numbers, how much colleges cost. Dave, I think I've seen a lot of these colleges, though, are actually lowering their tuition now. I guess now they need to compete a little bit more. And these are some of your larger colleges, too. I don't know how long that'll last, but...
You know, as long as they're doing virtual or partially virtual college, you know, on the internet, I suspect there's going to be continued pressure for discounts, rightly so.
Yeah. And, you know, as student debt has ballooned, wages, you know, have sputtered. Starting salaries for new college grads have grown less than 1% over the past couple of years and still remaining at around $50,000. So, not good.
Yeah, $50,000, not too
bad,
though.
Not a good investment.
In March, you'll remember the Department of Ed, U.S. Department of Ed, said student loan borrowers could stop their payments, pause them, actually, without interest. Through September, I think it was, maybe until September. But then the president signed an executive order that extended the reprieve through the end of this year. Still, that means borrowers may have to resume their payments in just a couple of months while unemployment remains high. A lot of businesses folding permanently. And of course, cases of the virus continuing to surge. And now we're seeing student debt as a strong hindrance to home ownership. Researchers at the Urban Institute found that if a person's education debt went from $50,000 to $100,000, their chance of home ownership declines by 15 percentage points. Perhaps we'll have to look into that a little more in a little more detail and drill down on some of those numbers. Interesting, challenging times, Melody.
You know, it certainly is. And I wanted to pull up an article here. I don't know if I can find it, so we'll just have to... this is out of the U.S. News. China threatens war over new Taiwan independence proposal. Yeah. And again, I mean, this isn't new news, but again, it's... We talked about this a little bit yesterday. I says you have Pompeo. And I'm just wondering, Trump's quick release from the hospital and Pompeo is over there. The new fiery rhetoric from Beijing at a proposal by Taiwan's opposition party comes amid an ongoing and provocative trip to the region by Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. And, you know, China kind of said prepare. They levied the new threats at Taiwan and appears poised to escalate its military efforts to heal what it considers a renegade province. Following an attempt by the island's nation's opposition party to bring it into closer cooperation with the United States, and Beijing was already angered by Pompeo's ongoing tour through Asia to shore up support for containing China, before the Taiwanese Kuomintang Party, or KMT, on Tuesday launched a new effort for the government there to reestablish the diplomatic ties with the U.S. And so, I mean, I don't know. It's wow. The more trouble Taiwan creates, the sooner the mainland will decide to teach Taiwan independence forces a hard lesson.
Wow. This is a real dangerous period we're entering. I mean, especially depending on election results, that this lame duck session, November and December and early January, could be a real troubling, volatile time. And we see not just in an economic sense, right? I mean, geez, with this kind of saber rattling, boy, there could be a somewhat of a leadership vacuum in the U.S. to adequately respond. But it would be, I still think it's a long shot for China to pull such a maneuver. they would have not just the U.S., but even though it might be a slightly different type of concerted effort, I think they'd still have the whole Western governments standing up against that kind of a move.
You know, I mean, and to me, that's what keeps us from actually going to war.
Yeah.
Is what you just said.
A threat of it.
Threat of it, but eventually, you know, when these nations flex their muscles, and one as China does, I mean, they have an incredible military. I mean, so do we. But China also, Russia would probably side with China.
Yeah.
So
North Korea, that big question mark on how they would react.
Yeah. So it's hard to believe that as far as we are, that we would actually go into that type of a quote-unquote war. But
yeah, let's hope sane minds prevail.
But we all know eventually World War III is going to be upon us. I mean, that probably goes too without saying. But is it now or is it later? I sure hope it's later. I'm not ready for that one yet. But we got to get through this election first. But are we out of time?
Oh my God! It is true.
Well, thank you, Dave. I enjoyed today's program. Wendy was great. You were great. The listeners are always great. And we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
And still, bye-bye. There never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.